We're doing Rav Chalap on Parshat Balak. Rav Chalap writes, we have Balak, who sees the danger of Israel, so he summons Bilam. And together, they're going to try and curse Israel. Balak and Bilam, says Rav Chalap, are shoresh pore rosh vela'ana. They are the root that ultimately develops into the most bitter and poisonous plant. Lalechet acharei shriut alev. They represent a hedonistic life. They represent one who goes after his darkest desires. Velashrish kfira ba'olam. And they were trying to bring the world to a place of denial. Denial of Ribbono Shel Olam. What did the ancient Kofrim say? The ancient apostate said, God's not involved around here. He doesn't care what happens here, and he doesn't affect what's happening here. Wait a second. They saw the miracles. We left Mitzrayim, the splitting of the sea. It says in Az Yashir, Nivhalu alufei Edom. The leaders of Edom got very scared. Eilei Moav, the powerful ones of the Moabites, Yochazei Morad. They were gripped with trembling. Namogu chol yoshevei Kenan. The dwellers of Kenan melted. So they knew there were miracles. What was that argument? Toda rabba. Ratzu le'atot et atzmam. But they wanted to cause themselves to err, to cause others to err, and they wanted to make the claim this didn't happen from God. There are forces at play here. There were natural phenomena here. Moshe has forces. Maybe Moshe knows the incantation to make a sea split. Moshe's strength is with his mouth. We'll bring someone else whose strength is with his mouth, and we can be victorious. Rav Chalap is giving us insight into what Rashi is saying. Rashi says, why were they summoning Bilam? Because when they checked out with Midian, where does Moshe's strength come from? They said, oh, his strength is in his mouth. Really? Moshe couldn't speak clearly. He was kvad pen, kvad lashon. It's interesting how far people can take this. So the Midianites say, his strength is in his mouth. So they say, oh, we'll summon Bilam. His strength is in his mouth. So all these miracles, they're all a product of Moshe's sorcery. Okay, so we'll summon Bilam, we'll get a bigger sorcerer. That was the argument of Balak and Bilam. They said, if we bring in Bilam, we can outdo Moshe. And then, if Bilam can really overpower Israel, then we will have undone anything Moshe just built. Moshe's strength is in his uniqueness. Moshe's argument with Korach is, I didn't invent anything. Everything I'm doing is Hashem. And there's no second to Hashem. Hashem is one, as the Rambam writes, his uniqueness is like no other. He is not one of a type. He is one, and his singularity is singular as well. And so if Bilam can really come and curse us, so then what Bilam will show is, I can bring down fire on the Jewish people. I'll just say my curses and fire will come down on them. I can say my curses and snakes will come and bite them. I can do everything. Moshe has powers. I have powers. Okay. So if there's a second to Moshe, so then it's not God anymore. Their denial of Hashem was, they're saying it's just they had a very brilliant and powerful leader. There was this great man, Moshe. Okay, we'll bring a great man who could take him down. So that's the danger of what Bilam and Balak are trying to do. And if, God forbid, they would have had some impact, then everything Moshe had accomplished would be thrown into question. And that's why Balak sends Bilam the following message. He says, Hine am yatza mi Mitzrayim. The nations come out of the land. Hine chisa et ein haaretz. He's covered the vision of the land. What does that mean, am yatza mi Mitzrayim? A nation just left Egypt, really? Yeah, this was Spartacus. This was Geronimo. What happened here? What does that mean? A nation left Egypt. Yeah, that's what he's trying to say. The nation left. Their own strength. It's not God here. The nation left Egypt. So Am Yisrael says that that's not true. We didn't do anything. It's all Hashem. Everything is from Hashem. Am Yisrael is threatening the philosophy of the Moabites. And that's what he says. Hine chisa et ein haaretz. This nation that just came out of Egypt is covering the way we look at the land. We approach the land as a place where it's survival of the fittest, it's tapping into forces, but it has nothing to do with God. They are covering that vision of the land. This nation refuses to see that it was just natural, they found ways out. No, no, no. They're changing the way we look at the land. So they got very scared. So Moab says, they can't deny everything we stand for. We have to take away our fear. How can we continue our lives if God is here and the Jewish people represent godliness, so it threatens everything we stand for? So you had one nation, the Girgashi, says, if God is with the Jewish people, I leave, goodbye. They tell Israel, give us room, we're leaving, goodbye, you have our territory in Israel, and they leave. They travel down to Africa, the Girgashi. But everyone else says, I have to deal with this problem. If they represent God, they are a threat to me. I have to fight them. So now about to our listeners, don't answer amen, because it's a recording, it's not live. Thank you very much. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvaro. V'chein amar binam el Hashem. And that's what Bilam, he also says to Hashem. Balak ben Tzipor melech Moab shalach elai. Balak sent word to me. Rashi quotes the Medrash Tanchuma. Even though you don't think I'm such great sheikhs, but down here on earth, kings value me. What are you doing, Bilam? You're talking to Hashem, and you're explaining to him that down here on earth, you're great? Sounds foolish. What's he saying? He's saying, I must be a great person, because Balak thinks I'm great. Wait, if he begins the sentence by saying, Hashem, I know you don't think I'm great, so then why does it matter if Balak does think he's great? It's as though he's saying, if I'm valued by Balak, that matters something. And if I'm not valued by you, Hashem, well, so what? What's he doing? He's comparing Balak to Hashem. Well, what?
For someone who somehow has like the degree of prophecy that anyone would have to make that statement seems so strange.
Part of Bilam's problem was that Bilam did not rein in his hedonistic desires. So he can sleep with his donkey. He could run after gold and silver. And even in his relationship with Hashem, he does not want to accept the idea that Hashem is master over what goes on here. So when Hashem asks him, who are these men? Bill says, oh, good, you don't know. Okay, so you're not as involved as people think down here. You're not. Okay, let me tell you, God. I'm very important down here. You're up there, but I'm over here. I'm an important person here. So Bilam's approach to Hashem was tainted because Bilam never purified himself. Bilam allowed himself to pursue the myriad of hedonistic desires that were a part of who he was.
Is that such a prerequisite to attain prophecy?
Oh, that's another good question.
Otherwise, Hashem wasn't fair with him.
Thursday night. It's a good question. We learned the Me'iri on it, if you want to see the answer. So the Me'iri in his introduction to Pirkei Avot, called Seder HaKabbalah, and the full series is on my website. I don't know if it's on Mechon Meir's website. 123Torah.com. Over there, the Me'iri deals with this question. So in order to uproot this attitude, in order to show that there's really nothing else here but the will of Hashem, There are moments where Hashem hides himself, but the world is running with the will of Hashem. So we needed a Balak and a Bilam, because through them it was revealed that you can't just do whatever you want. Am Yisrael is uplifted. We have an experience that no one else has in the world. Yetziat Mitzrayim. Mamad Hal Sinai. What do we do when we speak to Hashem? The exact opposite of Bilam. We go in the footsteps of Avram Avinu, who says, Anochi Afal Ve'ifer. Bilam says, let me talk to God tonight, I'll get back to you. The Ribbono Shel Olam shows up, he has what to say. We start our Shemona Esrei and we say, I don't feel like I could say anything, Hashem. Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, Hashem, could you open my lips? I don't even feel like I have a right to talk when I begin my Shemona Esrei. We approach life as we have to accomplish good in this world, but the only way we're going to do it is if we make ourselves accepting of Hashem's rulership in the world. When Hashem runs the world, then we can work with His rulership. When we recognize that, we try to focus our desires, we try to focus our strengths to be like Hashem. We say Hashem is kind, we want to be like Him and be kind. Hashem is patient, we want to be like Him and be patient. We want to facilitate the revelation of Hashem's kindness in the world, the revelation of Hashem's will in the world. We say that there is non-stop connection between Hashem and this world. We say Hashem is heavily invested in what goes on here. That's part of why we value life. We say every human being is a reflection of Hashem. So we're striving for that revelation. We're striving for Hashem to be expressed in this world through us, through the world being a better place. And so we strive for truth. We have a concept, the Gemara in Moed Katan says that sometimes Hashem will make a decree and the tzaddik is given the ability to annul it. Why was there a gzera? Why does Hashem make a decree? Because man has made it so that the blessings can't come from above. Hashem says, I want to do good. Are you making that a possibility? The tzaddik annuls the gzera because the tzaddik helps the world become a better place so that the world can get the blessings again. He says, it's not what people think. God says, it'll be bad, and the tzaddik says, no, Ribbono Shel Olam, it should be good. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, you say so, I'll listen. That's not the idea. The idea that when a tzaddik makes a decree, Hashem listens, is that the tzaddik makes the world a different place. It's not that he just speaks. Oh, it's not that he just says, Ribbono Shel Olam, do different, and Hashem says, I listen. He speaks, I listen. It's that he makes the world worthy of having blessings. The more pure he is, the more he affects the world to be a purer place. And that's what we find, our sages said, the story of Balak is so important. The sages were contemplating reading it every morning with Kriya Shema. When the sages said, read Shema, V'hoyim Shemoa, V'yomer, they were contemplating, instead of V'yomer, to say, let's read the story of Balak every morning. Why? Because our sages said, this parsha teaches us a most fundamental concept. The idea that Hashem is involved in this world. It's not a free-for-all. You can't just say what you want and do what you want and tap into forces the way you want. Our sages say, Moshe wrote his book and the story of Bilam. Moshe wrote the book of Devarim and the story of Bilam. Why is the story of Bilam a standalone? So the regular interpretation is, because this happened outside the Jewish camp. How did Moshe know what Bilam said to Balak, Balak said to Bilam? Where did that come into the Torah? It's something that happened in another nation. Hashem gave him a prophetic vision, he wrote it down. Everything that happened with Balak and Bilam. But Rav Chalap is saying, this parsha is a standalone because this parsha shows that Hashem is alone. This parsha is unique in its message to us. Hashem is running the world. It's not a question of which forces can I tap into, I'll change the world. Moshe didn't do everything he did because he knew how to tap into forces. Moshe did it because he was the emissary of Hashem. And that's the message of the parsha. That's why Chazal contemplated at one point to make it a parsha that we read every day.